Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, August 14, 2024, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And we thank you, sir, for the privilege that we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the last verse of chapter 5, verse 21. He, God the Father, made the one who knew no sin the impeccability of the Lord Jesus Christ. And last week we studied the doctrine of the impeccability of Christ, a very, very important doctrine of the Word of God. He, God the Father, made the one who knew no sin, the impeccability of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin, the judicial imputation of all the world's sins to Jesus Christ on the cross, as a substitute for us. And that's a second very important doctrine in this verse, the doctrine of the substitutionary spiritual death of Christ on the cross, for the purpose that we might become the righteousness of God en auto, in Him, in union with Jesus Christ, that is, sharing the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ as a result of the baptism of the Spirit and current positional truth. So we studied the doctrine of the impeccability of Christ. Now that brings us to the substitutionary spiritual death of Christ on the cross. Substitutionary spiritual death of Christ on the cross. Point one. First of all, there are two categories of unique death by our Lord on the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ died twice on the cross, and they were both unique deaths. There was our Lord's unique spiritual death associated with our salvation, that 3 hours from 12 noon to 3 p.m. when all the sins of the world were imputed to him by the Father and then judged in him by God the Father. That was our Lord's unique spiritual death associated with our salvation. And the second is our Lord's unique physical death associated with his finished work on the cross. So our Lord Jesus Christ had two deaths. He died twice, spiritual death and a physical death. Point two, there are three Greek prepositions that portray the substitutionary spiritual death of Christ on the cross. Three Greek words. Peri, P-E-R-I, pros, P-R-O-S, hooper, H-U-P-E-R. Now, all three of these prepositions, when they are in, take the genitive, these prepositions plus the genitive case, that's when they function as substitutionary prepositions. So all these prepositions, peri, pros, hooper, when they all take the genitive, then they express substitution. And when that happens, they are to be translated instead of, in place of, as a substitution for. Now we have in verse 21 of chapter 5, hooper plus the genitive in 2 Corinthians 5:21. This is used in many places in the New Testament. Turn over to Romans 5:8. Romans 5, verse 8. Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us. That is virtue love, and specifically in Romans 5:8, that's impersonal love for all mankind. God has impersonal love for all mankind. The key to impersonal love is integrity. The key to impersonal love is virtue. And God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. Because of God's infinite righteousness and justice, he has impersonal love for all mankind. This is not an anthropopathism. God is infinite integrity, infinite virtue, absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And because he is, he has impersonal love for all mankind, in spiritual death, in total depravity. How can he have that? Because he's absolute righteousness and perfect justice. This is impersonal love for all here in this passage. It is not an anthropopathism. Period, over and out. This is virtue love. God is virtue love. God has infinite personal love for those of you who have believed in Christ because you have his imputed righteousness. So he loves you with infinite personal love. But he loved all mankind with infinite impersonal love. How can he do that? Because he is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. That's how. Now that's the truth of the Word of God, period. But God demonstrates his own virtue love. toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, while we were spiritually dead, while we were totally depraved, while we were no damn good, Christ died, huper plus the genitive, as a substitute for us. Huper plus the genitive. That's what we have in 2 Corinthians 5:21 in our verse. Point three. So again, point two, there are three Greek prepositions that portray substitutionary spiritual death of Christ. Peri, pros, and huper, when they all take the genitive case. Three, the mechanics of substitutionary spiritual death. The mechanics of substitutionary spiritual death. First, the omnipotence of the Father judicially imputed all the sins in human history to the impeccable, sinless perfection, humanity of Christ. The omnipotence of the Father judicially imputed all the sins in human history to the impeccable humanity of Christ. This was a judicial imputation. And that means the sins were not antecedently Christ's own. He was sinless perfection. He was impeccable. Then, two, then the holiness of the Father, His absolute righteousness and perfect justice, judged our sins in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the holiness of the Father, His absolute righteousness and perfect justice, judged our sins in the Lord Jesus Christ. Three, perfect righteousness, a perfect righteous God, God the Father, was judging perfect righteous humanity, the impeccable Christ. Perfect righteous God, God the Father, was judging perfect righteous humanity, the impeccable Christ. Four, the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit sustained the impeccable humanity of Christ on the cross. The omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit sustained the impeccable humanity of Christ on the cross. Jesus Christ lived the very first unique spiritual life in true humanity. First one ever in His hypostatic union. The enabling power of God the Holy Spirit provided endurance, perseverance for Jesus Christ to remain on the cross and receive the imputation of all the sins of the human race and their judgment. And under the true doctrine of kenosis, our Lord did not use His own divine omnipotence to benefit Himself, to sustain Himself, to provide for Himself, or to glorify Himself. He did not function independently of the incarnation's Father's plan. But instead, our Lord's humanity relied upon the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit. He voluntarily restricted the independent use of His divine attributes in compliance with the Father's plan for the incarnation. So the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit sustained the impeccable humanity of Christ on the cross. 5. Our Lord's humanity remained trichotomous, body, soul, and human spirit. It remained trichotomous during his substitutionary spiritual death. Our Lord's humanity remained trichotomous during his substitutionary spiritual death. And we know our Lord remained trichotomous because in his unique physical death, his spirit went into the presence of the Father in heaven. His soul went to Hades with the Holy Spirit, and his body went into the grave. And that was a unique physical death. His spirit went into the presence of the Father, his soul went into Hades with the Holy Spirit, and his body went to the grave. While God the Father used both his omnipotence to impute our sins to Christ, then his justice to judge our sins in Christ, it was the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit that sustained our Lord on the cross and provided him the enabling power to endure the substitutionary spiritual death, those 3 hours of being judged for our sins, so that he might remain the perfect sin offering. He had to be a lamb without spot and without blemish. The omnipotence of the Holy Spirit sustaining Christ was a far, far greater task than is required for him to sustain us. The greatest work of the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit occurred in that 3 hours during the spiritual death of Christ on the cross. Point four is application. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, first class condition, and he is, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. That is the virtue of impersonal love of God the Father for all mankind when we were spiritually dead, totally depraved, and no damn good. But he had infinite virtue love, impersonal love for all, because he is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. This is God's virtue love, impersonal love for all mankind and spiritual death. But he gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? All right. 1. God the Father did not spare his own son, his eternal son, member of the Godhead, co-equal and co-eternal with the Father, the eternally existing Son of God. God the Father did not even spare his own Son, but actually judged our sins as they were imputed to Christ. God the Father did not even spare his own Son, but actually judged our sins as they were being imputed to Christ. Two. In verse 32, we have the substitutionary prepositional phrase, huper plus the genitive of pos and personal pronoun ego, which means in place of all of us, instead of all of us, as a substitute for all of us. He took our place. He took the judgment that we deserve. And he willingly did that. So not only did the Father have impersonal love for all in designing Operation Grace, but Jesus Christ had impersonal love for all, willingly going to the cross, willingly receiving the sins of spiritually dead, totally depraved mankind, willingly receiving the judgment for those. What was the motivation? His virtue love. His impersonal love for the world. And he demonstrated that when he was on the cross with the scum of the world down below. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What is that? Impersonal love for all. Jesus Christ on the cross, you're seeing impersonal love for all. God the Father's plan of Operation Grace, you're seeing impersonal love for all. It's the spotlight is on God, virtue, love. Three. In this passage, we have the great a fortiori of grace. The great a fortiori of grace. Four. If God did... a fortiori, you don't know how to spell that. Some of you get furled brows on your forehead. Whatever does he mean? In this passage, we have the great a fortiori of grace. For if God did the most for us, the substitutionary spiritual death of Christ on the cross, solving our problem of sin, what was the motivation? Virtue love, impersonal love for all mankind. If God did the most for us, substitutionary spiritual death of Christ on the cross, solving our problem of sin, then he will also, along with him, graciously give us all things. Graciously give us all things. That's looking at God's plan for all of those who place their faith in Jesus Christ. Anyone, any place, anywhere who simply believes in Jesus Christ. Faith alone and Christ alone, apart from any and all works. What is the plan of God for us once we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior? It is blessing, 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 blessing. God's plan is to give us blessing. He establishes a grace pipeline. With the justice of God on one end, the imputed righteousness of God and the believer on the other end, a grace pipeline. Why? So so that he can send down that pipeline, blessing, 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 blessing. This is set up because God wants to bless you. Now, if you make bad decisions and live in Satan's cosmic system, well, the justice of God executes what the righteousness of God demands. What the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges. What the righteousness of God accepts, the justice of God blesses. God set up the grace pipeline because he wanted to bless us. But we are so arrogant, we make bad decisions. We live out of fellowship with God. We make bad decisions to live in Satan's cosmic system. And God doesn't want us to crash and burn. So what the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges. Divine discipline, warning discipline, intensive discipline. If you keep going, dying discipline. Not because God wants to do that, but because we're so arrogant, negative, that we decide to do our own thing rather than God's thing. God set up the grace pipeline because he wants to bless us. Right at the very moment we believe in Christ, 40 salvation blessings. Absolutely. Well, I ought to make it a little better than that. 40 salvation blessings above and beyond anything we could ever ask or think. That happened the moment you believed in Christ. And then after that, logistical grace, blessing, and support. Temporal security to keep us alive in the middle of the devil's world. Why? To give us time because God wants you to grow up. He wants you to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. He wants you to advance to spiritual maturity. He wants you to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. He wants you to have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And when that is accomplished, now God can send down their greater grace blessing. And he's just tapping his foot, wanting to send greater grace blessing, greater grace blessing, greater grace blessing. When you attain spiritual maturity, here come those greater grace blessings for time and greater grace blessings that will be awarded to you at the judgment seat of Christ that will glorify God forever and ever and ever. These greater grace blessings glorify God for all eternity. That's the plan of God. God's plan is infinitely better than your plans, my plans. God has the best plan. He wants to bless us. That's what we have here. That's what we have in Romans 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Looking ultimately, God wants to give you greater grace blessings right now. Greater grace blessings. And it doesn't make any difference who is president. Doesn't make any difference. We might have the worst president ever. Look at the Apostle Paul. The Roman Empire under Paul. Who was in charge? Nero. He was a jerk. Well, he was about one of the most arrogant people that ever lived. And yet Paul says, pray for your leaders. Pray for those in authority. He prayed for Nero. And Nero is the one that had him decapitated. Pray for your leaders. We might have, you think we got bad leaders now? Wait. We might really have bad leaders. I know some of you say, oh, no, the conservatives, Donald Trump, they'll win. Well, why do you think there are no borders? Why do you think thousands and thousands and thousands of people are allowed to come over to make sure that the liberals and socialists stay in power. That's why. It's all about power. It's all about power. It's not about virtue. It's not about honor. It's not about integrity. Unfortunately, it's all about power. And that means you can say, you can lie. Oh, it's totally okay to lie, because for the liberals and the socialists, the end justifies the means. You can say anything. You can lie through your teeth. That's fine. The end justifies the means. And the end is we stay in power. So we can lie, and it's okay as long as we win. I still can see that jackass Harry Reid. It just galls me when I drive by the airport and it says Harry Reid Airport. Just galls the crap out of me. And he lied through his teeth on an election. And then afterward he was interviewed. And they said, Mr. Reid, all those things that you said about the Republican, those were all lies. Then he smiled. Yeah, but we won. That jackass. But he's not down there with the 40 virgins along with all the Islamics, but he's down there. He might be down there. I wouldn't want to be with those 40 virgins anyway. God wants to bless you. That's the plan of God. And you know what? He can do that no matter if Nero were president. The worst leaders in God can still bless you with greater grace blessing. There could be, no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in America, you advance to spiritual maturity, God will bless you with greater grace blessings. Guaranteed, absolute. Doesn't depend on what's going on in history or what's going on in the world. So in this passage, we have the great a fortiori of grace. For if God did the most for us, substitutionary spiritual death of Christ on the cross, solving our problem of sin, then he will also along with him graciously give us all things. 5, if the greatest benefit was given to us when Jesus Christ was judged for our sins on the cross, and it was, if the greatest benefit was given to us when Jesus Christ was judged for us for our sins on the cross, then a fortiori, God can surely provide fantastic, everything else, fantastic blessing for us. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, let's start at verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Who are those great crowd of witnesses? These are the heroes, winner believers in the Old Testament. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, winner believers in the Old Testament, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And now, I love it. God loves track and field. And let us run Let us run with perseverance the race. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ, you are in a spiritual marathon. Gun goes off, you're in that spiritual marathon. And I didn't watch. There were a lot of things I did not watch with the Olympics. I mean, some things that I don't even know what the hell they're in the Olympics for. Break dancing. That is asinine. I saw that when I was in high school. Olympic event. I did not watch 1 second of break dancing. I don't watch. I'm sorry, I'm not into synchronized swimming and all that stuff. There are a lot of things I didn't watch. But I was watching the track and field, and there was a gal from the Netherlands that ran the 5,000, the 10,000, and the marathon. I think she won the bronze medal in both the 5,000 and 10,000 and the gold medal in the marathon. While she was there in that 2 weeks, she ran 38 miles. I mean, you can't run 38 steps. I can't. 38 miles. That gal was amazing. Well, we are in a spiritual marathon. The moment you believe in Christ, the gun goes off. You're in a spiritual marathon. And God wants you to run the race with perseverance, endurance. So let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. That is, live the spiritual life, advance to maturity, have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, have occupation with Jesus Christ. Be occupied with Christ. Personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, occupation with Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him. Now, this is a word for happiness. And this is plus H, self-contained happiness, that Jesus Christ, in his humanity, he grew up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. He advanced to spiritual maturity, and he had self-contained happiness. Even with the way he was treated as a common criminal, laughed at, mocked, ridiculed, spat upon. He had self-contained happiness. Beaten to the point his friends couldn't recognize him. He had self-contained happiness. Crucified on the cross, he had self-contained happiness. For the joy. Very amazing. I was one doctrinal person that told me, that's crazy to say that Jesus Christ had happiness while he was on the cross. He did. Self-contained happiness in his humanity. After all that he went through, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What was that? Another great, great problem-solving device, virtue love, impersonal love for all. And how did he have that impersonal love for all? Because he had personal love for the Father. And that personal love for the Father, he carried out the incarnation plan of the Father, Operation Grace. And that motivated him to have impersonal love for the scum of the world and a self-contained happiness. He knew what he was accomplishing. He knew he was accomplishing the salvation work on the cross, so that anyone, any place, anywhere could believe in Christ for eternal salvation. And that inside in his soul was phenomenal. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary as you run the spiritual race before you, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So, one, more than in any other dispensation of human history, we, the royal family of God in the church age, are required to have endurance, perseverance, more than in any other dispensation of the church age. We, in the church age, are required to have endurance and perseverance too. Our role model is the Lord Jesus Christ, who endured the cross. Our role model is the Lord Jesus Christ, who endured the cross. Three, the basis of his endurance was the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit. The same omnipotence of the Holy Spirit that has been given to us to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. The basis of his endurance was the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit. He relied entirely upon the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of Bible doctrine in his heart. Four, in verse 1, running with endurance, perseverance, the race marked out for us. Running with endurance and perseverance, the race marked out for us. That is living the unique spiritual life of the church age. Just as Jesus Christ lived the first spiritual life in the hypostatic union. Five, as the Lord Jesus Christ was able to endure the judgment of our sins on the cross, as the Lord Jesus Christ was able to endure the judgment of our sins on the cross through the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, so we have the same power given to us to endure in our race, our advance to spiritual maturity. So we have the same power to endure the race set before us in our advance to spiritual maturity. Six, Christ was able to endure the judgment of our sins on the cross through the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit and by using problem-solving devices, precisely correct procedure of virtue love, his personal love for the Father, which motivated impersonal love for all mankind, impersonal love to go to a cross, impersonal love to receive the sins of the world, impersonal love to receive the judgment of those sins from spiritually dead, totally depraved mankind, and self-contained happiness. Self-contained happiness, knowing that he was solving the world problem of sin, making salvation possible for anyone, any place, anywhere who simply believes in him. Seven, the entire world could see that Jesus Christ, in his humanity, had virtue love, personal love for the Father, motivating impersonal love for all, and self-contained happiness. For no one has ever endured more pain, been more unjustly treated, had so much abuse, and then received the judgment of the sins of the world. 8. That phrase, having disregarded the shame, means our Lord did not allow contact with our sins to produce sin in him. The phrase, having disregarded the shame, means our Lord did not allow contact with our sins to produce sin in him. Even while being judged for our sins, our Lord did not have any self-pity, any bitterness, any vindictiveness. Instead, he was able to remain on the cross and receive the judgment for all the world's sins through the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit and metabolized doctrine in his heart. God's problem-solving devices, impersonal love for all, personal love for the Father, self-contained happiness. 9. You lose that endurance and perseverance by operating through the sin nature, the flesh, instead of the power of God, God the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God in your heart. You lose that endurance. You lose the perseverance. You become fatigued by using human energy of the flesh instead of the power of God. Human energy of the flesh is no substitute for God's power. The power of the filling of the Spirit, the power of the Word of God, metabolized doctrine in your heart. 10. So, our heritage from Jesus Christ on the cross is the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit of God, Ephesians 5:18, keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, walk by means of the Spirit. You will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. And the use of God's precisely correct procedure, God's problem-solving devices, such as personal love for the Father, impersonal love for all, self-contained happiness. So, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He, God the Father, made the one who knew no sin, the impeccability of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin, the judicial imputation of all the world's sins to the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, as a substitute for us, substitutionary spiritual death of Christ on the cross, for the purpose that we might become the righteousness of God in him, in union with Christ, sharing the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Spirit and current positional truth. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is in the can. Not to worry. I've already exegeted chapter 6, and I even brought it with me. I'm I'm in chapter 7 right now, my study. Chapter 6. Second Corinthians chapter 6. All right, we get into... Oh, this is... You thought chapter 5 was great? Wow, you ain't seen nothing yet. Second Corinthians chapter 6, outline, two parts. A, in Second Corinthians 6, 1 through 10, we have the universal ministry of the church age believer. The universal ministry of the church age believer, 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 10. Secondly, B, 2 Corinthians 6, 11 to 18, we have the doctrine of separation. 2 Corinthians 6, 11 to 18, separation. But now in 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 10, the universal ministry of the church age believer, or every member of the royal family of God is in full-time Christian service. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1 starts out, we then, as workers together with Him. We have the post-positive conjunction de, plus the present active participle of sooner gao. But anybody here have a King James Bible in your... You can cross out with Him. That's not in the original autograph. So there's no with Him here. So, one, Paul is continuing what he taught in 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 21. He's continuing what he taught in 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 18. Now all these things are from God, God the Father, the one who reconciled us to Himself through the agency of Christ, and He, God the Father, gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, that is, God the Father was in Christ reconciling the world, all of mankind, to Himself, not imputing their trespasses, their personal sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation, the grace gospel. 20. Now we keep on being ambassadors for Christ. God the Holy Spirit, as it were, makes His appeal through us, the convicting ministry of God the Holy Spirit. We request on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He, God the Father, made the one who knew no sin, impeccability of Christ, to be sin, judicial imputation of all the world's sins to Christ on the cross, as a substitute for us, substitutionary spiritual death of Christ on the cross, for the purpose that we might become the righteousness of God in Him, in union with Jesus Christ, sharing the righteousness of Christ through the baptism of the Spirit and current positional truth. So, one, Paul is continuing what he just taught in 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 21. Two, we are all royal ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all royal ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Three, therefore, we are all in full-time Christian service. As a royal priest, we represent ourselves to God. As a royal ambassador, we represent the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. We have the post-positive conjunction de, And it is a transitional death. Transitional, and therefore, a lot of times it's a conjunction of contrast, but here's transitional, and it may be translated and, or moreover, or then, or now. We'll translate it now. And then the verb sunergeo. This is a great verb, sunergeo. S-U-N-E-R-G-E, long O, soon ergeo. All right, one, soon ergeo is a compound word with the preposition soon with and ergeo to work. So, two, literally it means to work together with someone or with others. To work together with someone or with others. So, three, sunergeo means to work together with, to cooperate, to help. To work together with, to cooperate, to help. Four, sunergeo teaches the principle of teamwork. Teamwork. Sunergeo, work together with someone or with a lot of people. This is what a local church is all about. You see, we have, at the moment of salvation, God gives you at least one spiritual gift. You might have several spiritual gifts. He gave me the gift of pastor-teacher. There's a couple other gifts I believe he gave me. I'm not going to expound on that. But he has given me the gift of pastor-teacher. Well, that's like the quarterback on a football team. Now, if all we have in a local church, if all we have is the quarterback, if all you have on a football team is a quarterback, he'll get killed. You won't accomplish anything. It isn't one person on a football team, it's 11. And they have different positions, and everyone is important. It's just like in a local church, there's all these different spiritual gifts, and they're all important. All the spiritual gifts in Upland Bible Church are important. And together, we're a team. And that demands teamwork. And it'll only be there. There'll only be teamwork in a local church when a maximum number of the people in the church are living the spiritual life, growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attaining spiritual maturity, having virtue, love brought to completion in the heart. Then their spiritual gift will operate. Now they become a very important cog, member of the team. On a football team, you need that center. That center is very important. He's got to snap that ball to the quarterback. You got guards and you got tackles. They're vitally important. They got to protect the quarterback when he's going back to pass. They got to make holes so the running back can run through. You got wide receivers. You got tight ends, you got fullbacks, it's a total team. And the objective on a football team, to be a team, is you all work together as one. You're on the same page. When that ball is snapped, everybody moves at the same time, accomplishing your objective. It's a team. And when you, the best team is what wins. The best team, all the parts, centers and guards and tackles and receivers and tight ends and fullback and running back, they all are key, not just the quarterback. That's the same way in a local church. Local church, if all we have, the only gift that operates is my gift, then we're dead. We are dead. But when you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attain spiritual maturity, your spiritual gift will operate. You're a part of the team. Upland Bible Church is a team with lots of different gifts. And it demands teamwork. Everybody on the same page. Everybody operating with virtue love. Everybody having impersonal love for all. All the gifts working to accomplish the objective. Well, this is what we have here. This is a great verb, synergeo, the principle of teamwork. Well, there's a lot I want to say about teamwork. And this is a great Second Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to see the principle of teamwork again and again. Very, very important. And it's very important for Upland Bible Church. If I did not have a team, and very important parts of that team include the deacons, they have administrative gifts that are absolutely fantastic. I just close the doors. But we have fantastic deacons, and I've had fantastic deacons here ever since I've been here. It's been a blessing. But there, I see all kinds of gifts. I see the gift of helps. I see all kinds of spiritual gifts working together as a team. And that is the key for impact. Impact in our local, in Las Vegas, and also invisible impact in the world to the angels. So we'll take a look at this next week in more detail. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, teamwork. Very, very important. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.